Right, we'll come back to the advertising issue after the 2:30 news headlines. For now, it's time to talk family matters. And today, asking you to contemplate the fact, I think we can call it a fact, that none of us are perfect parents and none of us have perfect children. And whatever ideals you might have had going into parenthood, it very quickly gives you a quick dose of reality to let you know that nothing is going to be exactly as you thought it would be and nothing will go according to plan. And that what the books tell you is so-called normal behavior and development. Well, what is normal anyway? Everybody has their own variation thereof. Today, though, I want to pick up on the concept of the atypical child, which is a phrase I hadn't heard until recently. And I'm wanting to get an understanding of, on a professional basis, how it is applied, what it means in terms of its description, and how this impacts the child and the parent involved. With me on the line is Natalie Solomon, who is a clinical psychologist and the director of research and development at Bella Vista Share. And for those who don't know, Bella Vista Share is the online resource wing of Joburg's famous Bella Vista School, which is an independent school absolutely renowned for its excellence in the field of remedial education. Natalie, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I always hated the word normal and all the expectations that get attached to it, because we know every child is different and every child has their own way of growing and developing. I'd never heard this term of an atypical child, though, Natalie. As a starting point, can you explain to us what that term signifies?
Yeah. So the term atypical is used to describe a child who has features that make their particular pattern of growth or their ways of thinking or perceiving or feeling or behaving and interacting with others not what we usually expect. So it's a developmental trajectory that veers off the normal expected course of development. So absolutely, normal is an umbrella term, and there's a wide spectrum of behavior that falls within that. But this would be children who are significantly different from the typical developmental trajectory that we would come to expect. So that could mean children that are differently abled. So there's a neurodiversity, maybe differences in their learning, maybe physical differences, developmental delays, or sensory difficulties that would make typical development look significantly different to their ways of being in the world.
Okay, thanks for that. I think it's important to have an understanding going in of the professional term and what it encompasses. Now, obviously, for a child battling with any of those issues you've just described, there are impacts on the child's ability to progress in the world, their ability to receive the best possible education that suits those particular ways of development. But equally, Natalie, that brings with it difficulties and pressures for the parent, doesn't it?
Huge, absolutely. So I think to begin with, everyone has an idealized version of themselves as parents and an idealized version of what their children might be like in the world. And so when a child is atypical, there is a significant loss of expectation. There's kind of a pushing one off of course and really requiring a recentering of the way forward. And so for many parents, it can feel like an enormous shock. It can feel completely overwhelming. And there actually is an expected trajectory that we are neurowired to respond through. So some of the typical responses would be initially a denial or a retreat from the world. There's often anger and aggression. There's bargaining or seeking of control. There's depression. And then there's an acceptance. But none of these are linear. And so it doesn't mean that you kind of come to acceptance. It's almost like a revolving door. So you might come to acceptance for a little bit, and then you're back at anger. As well as it doesn't mean that you'll progress from one to the other in kind of these neat categories. Sometimes people get stuck in one discrete category. But yeah, I think that it's incredibly overwhelming, hard for parents. There's a lot of worrying about the future, of managing day-to-day living experiences, about difficult behaviors, and also financial burden, because many of these kids will require accommodations in the world. And unfortunately, our world isn't always geared for those accommodations, and it comes at a price. Yeah.
Natalie, I mean, the important thing to emphasize here is that as much as the parent might be struggling with all of those parts of the revolving door, at the same time, they've got to be focused on helping the child and adapting to those accommodations and looking for them if they're not immediately available. How important is it sort of for the parents to process their own feelings and emotions in order to best be able to support the child?
Absolutely. So I think denial is useful at the beginning when one feels completely overwhelmed, but it is important to move forward out of that, to begin to seek solutions, to find professionals, to find the therapies that are helpful, to find the right school placement. So it is important to really kind of process one's own trauma and one's own losses, but at the same time, seek solutions in the world, because one's child will require intervention. And again, we know that there's prognosis with early intervention, and that there is, I mean, again, it's not a hopeless situation. Mm. There's a lot of hope, but it does require attending and attuning to the situation rather than kind of pushing it aside putting one's head in the ground and pretending it doesn't exist.
Mm. We're talking to Natalie Solomon, who is a clinical psychologist and director of research and development at Bella Vista Share, which is attached to the Bella Vista School in Johannesburg, absolutely famous for their remedial education excellence. Natalie, not everybody is lucky enough to have a Bella Vista School available in their city or in their neighborhood or available to access from a financial perspective. Is enough being done to develop these kind of support structures for the atypical child, particularly in the public sector?
Unfortunately not. I feel like there really needs to be much more. But at the same time, I think that often the people who grow these communities of support are parents. So I think that if it doesn't exist, that not to give up and feel completely hopeless is to create those spaces in your particular environment. So whether it be finding other moms and dads who have similar experiences and creating support groups, whether it is accessing therapies and bringing them to your spaces. But certainly it's not as widespread in terms of and as easily available as it ought to be.
Natalie, somebody's asking on our SMS line if we can please talk a little bit more about helping parents process the guilt that comes with a diagnosis mm-hmm. of this sort. She's not wanting to give too much detail, but reading between the lines of what she said to me, it's something that she has struggled with. Is that quite a common response?
Absolutely. So there's often guilt around, did I cause this? Is this my genetics? Is this something I did during my pregnancy? Is it my parenting that has created this kind of problem? And I think that it's very normal, but it's not helpful to get stuck in guilt because it doesn't motivate us to seek support. I think guilt and shame live in isolation and they keep us separate from others. And we need to connect with others, whether it be emotional resources, whether it be physical resources. So I think that one has to acknowledge it. But at the same time, this isn't something that one went out of one's way to create. So it's about finding a way forward from here. Mm. I think often what happens within couples is there can be finger pointing, and so it can create kind of divisive relationships where one can say, well, this comes from your family or this is your inheritance. But actually, it's not really a useful it's not a useful process. I think it will come because we're just wired in that way. So acknowledge it, notice it, but then turn to oneself with self-compassion and say, now what? Now how do I move forward?
Because effectively, there is a community out there to be found, Natalie, if you go looking
Absolutely.
For it. It's a community you might not have wanted to join or expected to become part of, but it does exist there. What you've just said to me about guilt and shame making us live in isolation is a really powerful statement, because reaching out to look for others, you will find them.
Absolutely. And there's nothing like a community. You know, we are social beings. We're not made to live in isolation or even to bring up our children in isolation. We're supposed to do it as a community. And there's expertise, and many times the expertise is from parents themselves who've lived it, who have learned through trial and error. And I think there's so much to gain from a community of other parents to help you walk this journey.
So the final question then, Natalie, is how do we encourage parents who might be at the start of this road to look for those communities and find other people who are going through it? Because it does feel so overwhelming and so alone at the beginning. And many people don't know where to start looking.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the truth is, you know, one would say it's helpful to have a diagnosis. Sometimes it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes a diagnosis can be really constricting. But I think that it is helpful when it gives you a plan or a bit of a map of the way forward. And that helps you to join communities of other parents going through similar experiences. So typically it would be with one's teachers or with one's healthcare professionals that would help you identify what is it that I'm dealing with. And then when you have a sense of what it is, well, now what? How do I work with this and best accommodate for these difficulties and certainly certain amazing strengths as well. But it does, I think initially you are going to feel shocked and angry and upset. Acknowledge that that's part of the process. Don't be angry with yourself for that. Mm-hmm. But then open yourself up to, okay, now let's move forward.
Natalie Solomon, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Lots of really helpful, practical advice and calling it what it is. Natalie, I really appreciate your frankness today. Natalie is a clinical psychologist. She's the Director of Research and Development at Bella Vista Share, which is an online resource platform attached to Joburg's famous Bella Vista School. And if you are wanting to look for a place to start, please check out that platform. Just Google Bella Vista Share and it'll take you straight to their website if you are looking for resources to help you guide you along the way.